glad to see that you came back out tonight. We'll take a few minutes and look at a few scriptures and see if we can learn a little something from God's Word this evening. Ryan spoke this morning on seeing Christ, and tonight I'm going to kind of do just the opposite of that. I want to see if we can get a picture of Satan, see if we can get an idea of what he looks like, what we're looking for. We have no straight out picture that we can go to see what he looks like. We have to kind of look around the edges. You have to do a little bit of digging. Let's start with how the world depicts Satan. A lot of times you hear that he's somebody to party with, just a good old boy. Back in the 80s, Van Halen had a song out called Running with the Devil. And in this song, they talked about living my life like there's no tomorrow, living at a pace that kills, running with the devil. It's just a life wide open. Party all the time is the way everybody seems to depict him. People today don't seem to think that he's real. It's not someone to fear. It's somebody that we can handle. There's nothing that can affect us. I've got him. He's not going to bother me. If we look at some of the movies that have been out, there was a movie out several years ago called Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, which many of us may have seen. And in it, George Clooney, a Kentucky boy, played a guy named Everett. And Everett was a know-nothing, know-it-all. He always had an answer for whatever was going on. Always had something to say about every situation. He's always looking for the next get-rich-quick scheme. Everett is just broken out of prison with two other guys. And as they're on the run, they come across a baptism in the woods. And the two guys that are with him, Pete and Delmar, they decide that they're going to get baptized. And after they're baptized, this leads them to a spiritual discussion of sorts. And they eventually get their way around to talking about the devil and what he may look like. Everett says, of course he knows something about everything, says there are all manner of lesser imps and demons, Pete, but the great Satan himself is red and scaly with a bifurcated tail, and he carries a hay fork. And I had to look up bifurcated, which it just means he has a forked tail. And this is the image that we normally see when somebody talks about Satan. Usually red with horns, a forked tail, and a pitchfork or a hay fork. Later on in this same movie, they come across a young man. His name's Tommy. And he has supposedly just been down to the crossroads where he has supposedly sold his soul to the devil to be able to play the guitar. Now, a few weeks ago, during an invitation, I talked about the 27 Club, in which many musicians had died at the early age of 27. And one of the guys that I mentioned was Robert Johnson. And this is supposed to have been, by legend, what he had done. He has a song that he sang about it, about going to the crossroads to sell his soul to the devil. And just a quick note about him that I didn't mention before, if this was true, that this is what he did, that he sold his soul to the devil at this point, he got exactly what he wanted. He was very good at playing the guitar, and it's been 80 or so years since his death. People still talk about him. He still influences musicians. But he died at the age of 27. He was poisoned. He only recorded 29 songs. So while he may have got what he wanted, it didn't do his life very well. It wasn't what he expected. But back to Tommy. Tommy says he's been down to the crossroads and he sold his soul to the devil. So the guys think now they have an opportunity to find someone who's actually seen him, and they ask what he looks like. Is he really red? Does he have the horns and the forked tail? And he replies to them, oh no, no sir. He's white as you folks, with empty eyes and a big hollow voice, and he travels around with a mean old hound. So here from this one movie, we have two different depictions of what Satan may look like. Red and scaly with a forked tail, or white, empty eyes, a big hollow voice, and a dog roaming around with him. That's the Hollywood version that we see many times. But let's look in the Bible for a few minutes and see what the Bible gives us as far as a description of Satan. The first time we see him is in the Garden of Eden, in Genesis 3. And in verse 1, let's read verses 1 through 5. Genesis 3, verses 1 through 5. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So here the first time we see a depiction of Satan, he appears to Eve as a serpent. So a question for you. Do you think this was the first time that Satan had ever appeared to Adam and Eve? Do we usually fall to temptations when they first come into our life? Or does it have to work on us a little bit, maybe before we stumble and we fall? We're not told how often he had appeared to him. We're just shown the time when he actually got through to one of them and caused him to stumble. When he finally found that something that he needed to get to him. And we all have that something that nags at us. That thing that Satan can get us, that he can use against us to get us to do his will. And when he finds that something that we have, we need to be ready, because he will do his best to wear it out. He's going to come at you over and over and over again. So in this first example from the Bible, we see, to put it plainly, Satan as a lying snake in the grass. If we turn just one chapter over to Genesis 4, we have what I see as another appearance of Satan. And in Genesis 4, let's read verses 3 through 7. Genesis 4, 3 through 7. "In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? Why is your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it.'" So here we have the sons of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, the first two kids that we know of born in the world. Abel offers a sacrifice and he's approved by God. Cain offers a sacrifice and it's not approved by God. And this just starts eating at Cain. He can't get over it. Eventually, he kills his brother over this. And why did he kill him? In verse 5, it says that Cain was very angry and his face fell. And this is where I think Satan appeared in his life. Satan appeared here as an emotion, as the anger that was in Cain's life that he couldn't get over. He couldn't get it out of his life. For one more example from the Old Testament, let's look for a moment at the life of Job. God allowed Satan to have his way with Job, to tempt him. God was wanting to show how good of a man that Job was. So how did Satan start to work on Job? First, he took his possessions. He took his children, struck his body with sores. And then at the end, he sends in his friends and his wife. He's looking for that something, whatever it is that he can get to get to Job. And in Job 2 in verse 9, his wife actually comes to him and says, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." Not exactly the helper that she needed to be at the time. It's not what he needed to hear. After she says this, then Satan sends in Job's friends. Your friends are supposed to be on your side. They're supposed to lift you up. They're supposed to be there to back you up. But instead, they sit around for days telling Job what a horrible person he must be, that this must all be his fault. He must have done something exceedingly sinful for all this to be going on in his life. So in this example, I think that Satan, in the end, had appeared to Job in the form of his wife and his friends. So these are just a few examples of the Old Testament. We see that he was a lying snake in the grass, that he appeared as a feeling or an emotion, and he may appear through the actions of another person. Let's look at a couple of New Testament examples for a minute. In Acts 5, we have Ananias and Sapphira. They sold some land, and they claimed to have given all the money that they got from the land to help the needy. But they kept a little bit back. And that was fine. There was nothing wrong with them keeping some of the money. It was theirs to do with what they wanted. The problem was in the lie that they had given it all. But why did they lie about it? We see just before this that Barnabas had sold some land. He had given all the money to help the needy saints. Now, don't you think that all the people around, once they found out what Barnabas had done, that they had patted him on the back, told him how generous that was, what a great example he was, and they could see all the praise that he was getting from everyone. He didn't do it for the glory from man. He did it for glory for God. But all that Ananias and Sapphira could see was the glory from man. And they wanted that more than they wanted the glory from God. This was their something that Satan could use to get at them. The devil, knowing how to get at them, I think appeared to them this time in the situation that was taking place, in seeing someone else receiving the glory from everyone around them. And they couldn't take it. They wanted a piece of that for themselves. In 1 Peter 5, we see somewhat of a description of Satan. Let's turn to 1 Peter 5. We're going to read verses 6 through 9. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 9. It says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." Now here we actually do get somewhat of a description of Satan. He's described as a roaring lion. But have you ever seen a picture, a drawing, or anything of Satan as a lion? All we ever get is red horns and a forked tail. Now, they're not saying that he looks like a lion. It's just saying what he's like. He's stalking. He's lying in wait, ready to pounce, ready to devour. He's hunting, and he's hunting every one of us. Verse 9 tells us that there are others being tempted just as we are throughout the world, but that we're not alone. These other brothers in the world, they're withstanding and they're not giving in. And if they can do it, we can do it too. In 1 John 3:8, it tells us that the devil has been sinning from the beginning. And that's why Christ came. He came to destroy the works of the devil. He did that on the cross, and he did that through his resurrection. The first of this verse, in 1 John 3 and verse 8, we get one last little picture of Satan. And in this picture it says, "Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil." Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. This is a time when we need to look at ourselves. We need to examine ourselves. Am I standing in someone's way of obeying the Lord because of the life that I'm living? Is Satan using me as he did Job's wife and his friends to help in the downfall of someone else? We have to examine ourselves to see how Satan is getting at us. How may he be using us? And we must make sure that we are in no way helping him with his wicked plans. Now, we've seen a few examples of what Satan looks like. And it's not red horns, it's not a forked tail, and it's not a pitchfork. That would be too easy to spot and too easy to avoid. He's cunning, he's devious, and he's walking around seeking whom he may devour. The examples that we've seen here, we've seen him as a lying snake in the grass. We've seen him as a feeling or an emotion appearing through another person or in their actions. In situations in our lives, simply the things that we're dealing with, the things that we're going through. We see him as a roaring lion who's hunting each one of us. He may even appear through us in someone else's life. In short, he will be or appear in whatever form, situation, or whatever that something is that he can find to get at us with. And when we overcome what he has set in front of us, that something, then he's just going to look for something else that he can work at us with. And he will do it over and over again. The world usually doesn't get it right when they tell you what Satan looks like. But in closing, let me read a few words from a song. And this time, I think that this song from the world actually got it right. The song was by a woman back in 1981 by Terry Gibbs. And the song is called Somebody's Knocking. It almost sounds like a prayer. She sings, "Somebody's knocking. Should I let him in? Lord, it's the devil. Would you look at him? I've heard about him, but I never dreamed he'd have blue eyes and blue jeans. Well, somebody's talking. He's whispering to me. Your place or my place? Well, which will it be? I'm getting weaker and he's coming on strong, but I don't want to go wrong. He must have tapped my telephone line. He must have known I'm spending my time alone. Somebody's knocking. Should I let him in? Lord, it's the devil. Would you look at him? I've heard about him, but I never dreamed he'd have blue eyes and blue jeans. We need to be on our guard. He may appear innocent at times. He may appear in ways that we never thought he would. But he's out to destroy us all. And it's up to us to continue to resist him. Just as God told Cain back in Genesis 4, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it." Thank you. Andy?